Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Oh, baby, baby. Oh, baby, baby. How was I supposed to know? Something wasn't right here. Oh, baby, baby. I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of here. Subjects.
Welcome to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show, the Fun Friday Pod. What an auspicious occasion this is. The Friday before Memorial Day weekend. I was going to do this whole pod episode about how I'm pissed off that the Southern Baptist Convention has just been abusing children. And I do want to talk about that because it infuriates me based on my own childhood. Nothing bad happened to me, but just the whole like hypocrisy of it. But then I'm like, you know what, Danny? It's a holiday weekend. America's going through a tough time right now. There's no need for you to fucking be Mr. Morose, you know? That's not why people tune into this podcast. That's not the reason at all. They tune in because they want to hear me go, mm-hmm. Dude, I did a fucking, my work had a party and they had a karaoke stage set up outside of this place, the Knockdown Center in Flushing, Queens, or at least it was on Flushing Avenue. Maybe it was Massbeth, Queens. I don't fucking know, dude. So we get there. They have this outdoor stage set up, karaoke, and they're, are literally like over 200 people watching the karaoke. It's like a regular concert stage. Like if you went to like Lollapalooza, like one of the side stages, but a real ass concert stage with like, you know, cordless mics and just a fucking amazing setup. And so my coworker Kyle, I solicited her. I recruited her to be the female backup singer. Cause I always loved doing Hit Me Baby. And then our other friend recorded it on my phone. Dude, I watched the recording of me doing Baby One More Time, probably at least 8 times that night. Just stayed up till 5 in the morning watching it over and over and over again because it was so fucking great. Everybody got super into it. Like at first, the people in the crowd were laughing. They're like, what the fuck is this dude doing Hit Me Baby One More Time? But then I was like, sing along with me, you guys. And I got everybody in the audience to sing, and it was mostly women that came to the front, and you need to have like women singing the chorus for that song, and it was all women singing the chorus. I can't even describe how amazing it was. It was so great, dude. It was fucking lit. Like, Hit Me Baby it's like a hymn. It's basically a hymn because it's like, it starts in a verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, end. And it's also like this call and response with the audience. And I know it's not like a formal hymn like Amazing Grace, but I just can't describe it any other way. It's so like cathartic and that there's this like release to it. And it's also not, it sounds bright and poppy, but it's not a bright and poppy song. I mean, the core lyric is my loneliness is killing me. And I must confess. But it's got soul to it, you know? It's not a little ditty. It's dark. It's a dark song. And it's just, I don't know, man. I can't even. One day I'll post it. One day. Wow, like, who cares, Danny? I'll post it on my Instagram or something. I mean, I recommend watching it over and over. I know I'm the only person on the planet that cares about that, but whatever. All right. Welcome to the Fun Friday Pod. I got some feedback. Tom McCaffrey has been the guest for the past couple weeks, and he's going to be the guest again next week because I'm going to Austin, Texas on Friday. I'm going down in Austin, Texas. I got them stairs and zebras running around there. Be careful. So Tom and I recorded some episodes, and one was this past Wednesday, and then the next one, he's going to talk more about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, which is next Wednesday. Anyways, Haley, longtime listener of the pod, gave feedback on this past Wednesday's episode. She said, I love to hear men say porn is distasteful. We did talk about that. I mean, you know, when you're jerking off, it's like, oh, that's amazing, but like the second you come, obviously it's gross, and it is kind of gross. It seems like there is so much talk about it everywhere, but barely any talk about how it can ruin people's sex lives and intimate relationships. Yikes. Woo. This is Haley's feedback. It got really good when you all were discussing the problems with this country. The homelessness, inflation, abortion laws, and school shootings. Tom is exactly right about kids growing up without good parenting and their mental health becoming whack. How can we make things better? And yeah, I mean, not that I want to talk about something terrible, but like that shooter in Texas, like he was playing Fortnite with a, you know, friend of his in school or whatever. And he would yell at his mom. His mom would get on the Fortnite ear plugs or whatever you call it, earphones. I didn't even know you could do this. and would like yell at him to do his schoolwork and say your life's not going anywhere, and then he would swear at her. So like his life was obviously in turmoil, and it's like I'm not judging his mother's parenting. I don't fucking know, but you know, but just if that's the relationship you have with your kid, it can't be going great, right? Haley continues, I still think it's crazy how much money goes to sports and entertainment instead of helping people. It's funny she said that because I was watching the Heat play the Celtics tonight and thinking about how much those seats cost and how much pretzels are and everything. It's like, hey boy, we could be putting that money towards Big Brother, Big Sister programs. Haley said, I'm excited for the next one, the Depp and Heard trial. Yeah, we talked about that. Okay. Oh, I forgot to mention this. My friend said that the Hit Me Baby Britney Spears... Why do you just keep saying it? The karaoke that I did, I sent that video to her and she goes, that's 25 years of practice to get that kind of crowd participation. I mean, dude, seriously. I was over at my Aunt Mary's house in Cleveland in like, I don't know, fucking 1998. And we had a talent show and I literally put on like my aunt's like bra and like top and stuff and did Hit Me Baby One More Time. And then my dad was in the living room just like shaking his head like, oh my God, is this the kid that I raised? Great. And I must confess. Danny, don't jazz it up. Leave it as is. All right. I learned a couple of interesting things about like famous people in the past few days. Isn't it weird when you learn something insane about a famous person and you're like, what? How do you know? And I actually learned a third thing just now. Apparently, Tiger Woods almost quit golf in like 2006 to go become a Navy SEAL, and his dad was a Navy SEAL. There's one. Number two is Jimi Hendrix was a paratrooper. What? Didn't know that. And the third thing, I have a little more detail on this one. Karl Malone impregnated a girl when she was 13 years old. I think he was in college at Louisiana Tech. He impregnated Gloria Bell, who gave birth to NFL player Demetrius Bell. Malone was a basketball star in college, and there he met and impregnated 13-year-old Gloria Bell. Gloria would give birth to Demetrius Bell, who would go on to be drafted by the Buffalo Bills. What the fuck? Did you know that? I think it's insane. I mean, I'm fucking 46. You know, I try to read the paper. I try to pay attention to what's going on around me. There's so much shit that I have no idea about. I know that everybody is the same when it comes to that, but just some shit just kind of blows me away, you know? I was texting my friend in Atlanta, and I told her about the Hit Me Baby One More Time because it's all I could talk about all Thursday night. I stayed up to like 5 in the morning. It was like the first time I did stand-up in Atlanta. I couldn't go to bed because I was too wired. I was literally the exact same way after doing the Hit Me Baby One More Time karaoke. And it also made me realize, like, I've been doing stand-up for 11, 12 years here in New York. And, you know, I've done probably literally thousands of sets over the course of that time. And some of them, you know, it's like, wow, that was a peak set. Doing Baby One More Time on karaoke was better than every stand-up set I've ever done by a disturbingly large margin. It was so much better. You're just like a rock star. People are like looking up at you and singing the songs. And I told my my comedian buddy, Lindsay, I was like, I'm actually going to shift from comedian to rock star. Sorry. She's like, do you know how to sing? I'm like, no. Well, then how are you going to become rock? I don't know. I haven't worked out the details yet, but I'm starting a worldwide tour soon. Stay tuned for the details. They'll be posted here on The Danny Palmer Show. New rock star. Dude, don't you think that like taking time off just kind of is like tedious sometimes, you know? Like I took most of this week off and I love it. You know, I love taking a break. But sometimes when you're like sitting by the pool or just like chilling, you're just like, how much time until I do the next thing? But I know that's not good. That means you need to learn how to relax. And I think I've gotten better at it. But like, yeah, sometimes you're just like, what the fuck? I say that. I'm a lazy piece of shit. Don't mind me. You're a lazy piece of shit. Don't act like you're so fucking busy and task-oriented and can't stop being productive for 2 seconds. You're a piece of garbage. Just sitting in your apartment by yourself. Sweetie, that's not very nice. I'm not very nice to you because you're a dumbass. All right, fine. I listen to... I love listening to Howard Stern. I mean, he's been on the radio for over 40 years. He's obviously like a very wise, seasoned person at this point in his life. And I love when he takes calls from people that aren't famous, that aren't in the Whack Pack, that aren't, you know, like the standard, like Ralph, his like hairdresser or whatever, that are just normal people. And he took a call from a 14-year-old girl last week. And he talks frequently about his parents. I think they're in their upper 90s and his dad has dementia and his mom sometimes seems like she's on the verge of death and then she comes back and she's always complaining and unhappy and, you know, she's not doing well and she's ill. Obviously, she's at the end of her life. So this 14-year-old girl calls in, and you could tell she had like put together this thing to say at the start of the call. She was like, "Hi, Howard. I just want to say I'm very sorry for what's going on with your parents, and I hope that things get better." And he just goes, "They won't." And then Robin weighed in. She kind of said, "You know, sometimes things in life just don't improve," like kind of counseling this young girl. But then the girl was actually very wise. She was talking about how boys are just idiots and want to like pollinate one flower and then go to the next and don't know the meaning of the word respect. I'm like, damn, this girl's 14. She's like a fucking wise dating soul. Meanwhile, dudes are just like, "I want to pollinate your flower." That one's over. That one's done. I was talking to somebody about, you know, all this division in the country. And I have friends that are like, I'm liberal and lefty and shit. I have friends that are Republican. I just feel like manners trump views. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what, if you disagree with somebody, you still need to be like polite to them, offer them a glass of water if they come over to your apartment, you know, say please and thank you. You know, if they drop something, pick it up. Like, just manners is the most important thing. And then we'll get to views. But manners have to be in place first. That's my thought anyways. Okay. Okay. All right. This fucking dude, I don't even know if I want to talk about it. I had this idea in my head that I was going to review this article about the Southern Baptist Convention and like abusing kids and the leaders covering it up and even belittling some of the victims, which infuriates me. And then I'm like, Danny, I don't really think that this is the purpose of your podcast. It's just going to rile me up. I'll just do like a super quick summary. So, I mean, look, I grew up in a very like strict religious household. And look, I love my parents. They did a great job raising me and my siblings. Our house was filled with love. No one ever like harmed or molested any of us, at least not me. I assume my siblings as well. I'm not going to like ask someone, "Hey, did anything?" I mean, I assume that we are all not harmed. But there's just this like, you know, when you go to church, it's like, okay, there's like Jesus and the pastor is like, you know, conveying his word to us, and the youth pastor is trying to help make you better kids. And like, there was a lot of positive things to it, but there's also this sense of like, you know, God is this unfallible authority, and the preacher and the doctrine of the church are like the template on which to live your lives. And then the scandal breaks and they've been abusing minors. I don't even want to read this fucking report. It's like 200 pages long. I assume it's a you know, wide range of disgusting behavior regarding children, probably some misogynistic behavior towards women because they're always like the man is the head of the household. Like, it's nearly 300 pages. It's 300 pages long. And this is supposed to be one of the like, you know, leading moral institutions in the country. But it just got dropped, I guess isn't the right term for a paper on sexual abuse scandals. But anyways, the report was made public by the Southern Baptist Convention this past Sunday. It claims that top church leaders suppressed and mishandled abuse claims, resisted reforms, and belittled victims and their families. Belittled victims and their families? It makes me so mad. The investigation conducted by a third party at the insistence of church members, good for you church members that insisted that, has thrust the nation's largest Protestant denomination into turmoil at a particularly fraught moment. The Southern Baptist Convention is already grappling with declining membership, sharp divisions over politics and culture, and a high-stakes leadership change that is weeks away. And apparently this has been a problem for quite some time. The Houston Chronicle and the San Antonio Express News a couple years ago revealed that nearly 400 Southern Baptist leaders, from youth pastors to top ministers, had pleaded guilty or been convicted of sex crimes against more than 700 victims since 1998. And I mean, think about that. That's two newspapers that aren't a part of the church that, you know, did their own searching and probing. And who wants to fucking talk about the disgusting shit? You know, like, if it's happened to you, how many of those people are going to willingly discuss it with a newspaper or anybody? So this number of 400 leaders is likely a low count. It's like just like coronavirus cases, right? And the number of the people that have been guilty or convicted of sex crimes, more than 700. Well, think about all the people that have committed sex crimes since 1998 that haven't been caught or turned in. And it's just like this ever. And then think about like each of those 700 people, the harm to their lives and the loved ones around them. And then, you know, abuse sometimes begets abuse and creates these patterns that are generations long. It just fucking drives me insane, you know? And it's like, oh, well, we thought it maybe was just the Catholic Church. I guarantee you, every fucking denomination has some sort of abuse problem because they take this authority from a higher power, quote unquote, and then use that to fucking be perverts. And I know it's not all of like, I'm not saying that every pastor, every preacher is guilty. And I'm not saying that the doctrine and the principles are bad. There are plenty of people in the Southern Baptist Convention, I'm sure, that are upstanding citizens that make the world better. They probably spend a lot more time and effort than I do to helping those around them. I'm not disputing that. But the fact that this exists in such a large scale within the largest denomination, and one that I was, you know, instructed to adhere to, basically, we went to other denominations too as a child in Florida, but this was the primary one from which all the others kind of emanate. The fact that this denomination is guilty of this scumbag behavior, it just fucking makes me so pissed off, dude. I fucking hate it. Anyways, the report quickly proved to be another dividing line within the denomination, with some pastors and members seeing it as a call to action for deep cultural and structural changes on abuse, as well as a range of issues around politics and the treatment of women. Yeah, they're always like, oh, the man is the head of the household, and the women are just supposed to like defer to the man. And then you know what that begets? It begets abuse. It begets the husband treating the wife as lesser than. I've seen it. I'm sure it doesn't happen all the time, but that kind of mindset and mentality does not lead to good things. The denomination's former policy head, Russell Moore, who left last year, called it an apocalypse and revealed a reality far more evil and systemic, the key word, than I imagined it could be. Its current president, Ed Litton, said the report was far worse than he had anticipated. Then tomorrow, you're listening to this on Friday. Yesterday, they're releasing a list of names, dude. Ugh, that list is going to be something else. I don't know. I don't have to spend my, silly comedy podcast time talking about this gross, infuriating issue. But I think organized religion is just not necessary to living a good life. I think there should be no denominations. If you want to have a fucking Bible study, it should be your family and like one or two other families, and you should all get like vetted and some background check or something, and then no more. Don't grow. When these organizations grow, they grow corrupt, and then they hoard art like the fucking Vatican. They should sell all their fucking art and be giving homeless people housing and protecting battered women. Like, you fucking garbage. Danny, this is a fun podcast. Hey, baby, how was I supposed to know? Just get back to fun zone, Danny. Get back to fun zone. Fucking pisses me off, dude. Anyways, there's a convention. This is the last thing I'll say about it. There's a convention next month in Anaheim, California. And this woman who's a wife of a Maryland pastor, she survived abuse herself. And she's like, we've got to go and do something about this. She said, if we don't have enough people that are willing to stand with the survivors, then I'm going to call it the Good Old Boys Network is going to be successful at just brushing this aside. So don't let these fucking scumbags brush this aside, dude. But go ahead, read the Bible, have a Bible study, follow the principles. Organizing this structure, this hierarchy where people can abuse it and hurt minors and treat women poorly. Go fuck yourselves, Southern Baptist Convention. Go fuck yourselves. Anywho, want to hear a fun Mitch Hedberg quote? I've been getting back into Mitch Hedberg stand-up. Dude, the guy's so funny. I watched one of his jokes. He goes, you can't please all the people all the time. And last night, all those people came to my show. And then I watched the new Ricky Gervais special last night. Dude, it's great. I've watched a few specials recently, and I think Ricky's was the best by far. I watched Cat Williams. I'm not going to talk shit about comics that have like global careers that are very successful. And there were some funny things in it, but just, I don't know. At one point, he was humping the stool. I'm like, dude, you're humping the stool. Come on, Cat. Nothing can top his special at the Civic Center in Atlanta. That was amazing. And then I watched Ricky Gervais's, which I thought was really good. And one of the things he said, and he goes, eat and drink as much as you want, and then just fucking die. Like, just, there's no need to live this like teetotaler abstaining life. That's what the Baptist problem, half the Baptist problem is. This culture of oppression. A friend of mine sent me some like essay. It was like a joke essay, like, oh, we're Baptists, so we have fun. And it was like, are Christian women allowed to have butts or something like that? Like implying that like you shouldn't look at their butts. And it's like, you're trying to be funny, but you're just like literally exemplifying what the problem is. Like, you act like sexuality is bad And then those urges, those human natural urges, get channeled into negative outlets because you act like it's not natural, not normal. And if it is natural and normal to have sexual instincts and urges, they just need to not be channeled towards fucking children or being abusive towards women. It's not fucking sinful. It's fucking normal. All right. I got back to being mad about that thing again. Sorry. Anyways, 20 minutes. This is good enough. All right, Danny, come on. Nobody wants to listen to you rant on about the Southern Baptist, the Southern Pedophile Convention for this long. I like this quote from my my favorite Farnham Street blog that I read every Sunday morning, the newsletter, Joshua Medcalf, on talking about grit. He says, the irony is that this fake it till you make it tactic is the exact opposite of how truly successful people live. They live with authentic vulnerability because they know that the world always connects more with your grit than your shine. They might show up for the shine, but they will stay because of your grit. I just love that phrase, authentic vulnerability, you know, because I've been doing recruiting for a long time. And they're like, don't let your hiring managers know if you're overwhelmed. And it's like, no. It's okay to be authentic and vulnerable and say, hey, I'm a little overwhelmed right now. Here's my approach to fixing it. I mean, authentic vulnerability is how you develop a good stand-up act. And it doesn't mean that you're less successful. Authentic vulnerability might have helped those fucking perv Southern... Actually, you know what? Fuck that. They don't deserve this quote. All right, anyway, follow me on Instagram if you want to, dude. Danny Vollmer NYC. Hit me up on Instagram. No one ever does. I hope you have a nice Memorial Day weekend. Did you know that what was Memorial Day weekend created for? Which war? Do you know? It was created for the Civil War. Okay, that's the end of that. Thanks for listening. I won't be as pissed off about loser Southern Baptist next week, Jones. Hope you have a nice Memorial Day weekend. Jumping into a lake or some shit. You know what I mean? Just get some like fucking, I don't know, some lemonade, some watermelon, some fucking delicious fucking treats, dude. Dude, get some like blonde brownies, bring them out of the boat. Just have a nice time, dude. All right, Chance. Peace. Yeah.